I want to welcome those who are watching live and also those who are listening to the podcast or are watching online. And again, my name is Wade Burleson. You're joining us for our third worship service this Sunday morning. And if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to open to the Book of Ruth. And for those of you who are new, I'm not going to assume you understand what the Book of Ruth is and what we've been talking about. So let me give you some background before we read the Bible this morning. First, the story of Ruth is an allegory of your life. What that means is when you read the Book of Ruth, you're reading about yourself. For what happened to Ruth in her story is exactly what happens to you and to me. You see, Ruth was redeemed by a man named Boaz. And the word redemption means to buy back. Boaz bought back the land that Ruth's deceased husband had lost, that her dead father-in-law had sold because of poverty when he was alive. Boaz comes in and rescues Ruth, just like God comes in and rescues your life and buys it back. Now, let me say a word about this book called Ruth. When the ancient Hebrews would read the scriptures, they didn't read it like you and I read it today. They didn't have a Bible like this. They didn't pull up their phone, of course, and read. You know what they did? They went to their place of worship, the temple, later the synagogue, and they would pull out that scroll, and they would read the scroll. And people would hear the word of God being read. And what's fascinating about the ancient Hebrew scriptures is Ruth and the book of Judges were both one scroll. In other words, in your Bible or on your phone as you're reading it, Ruth looks like it's a different book and it follows the book of Judges. But in ancient days, when people heard the word of God read, Ruth was part of Judges. It was the end of the scroll of Judges. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, have you read Judges lately? It's a rough book. In fact, the theme of that book is all of God's people in that time, everyone was doing that which was right in their own eyes. No one was listening to God. It's a book about the destruction that comes when you live your life without reference to God. That's the book of Judges. And Ruth is part of that book. It's the end of that book. So what you have here is the rebellion of God's people in the book of Judges and the destruction that comes to them because of it. And then, lo and behold, here comes the Redeemer of Israel. And he redeems his people in the book of Ruth. You know what that means? That means God is interested in changing the lives of those of us who carry a lot of baggage. If you think church is only for perfect people, people who've never failed, people who've never had an abortion, people who've never been arrested, people who've never had an addiction, people whose families are like Norman Rockwell, that's who church is for. No, you're wrong. Your Goel, your Redeemer, he's interested in people who've gone their own way and made mistakes. For you see, the Bible says your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And the word Redeemer there is the Hebrew word Goel, the same word used for Boaz who rescued Ruth in the story of Ruth. So God is your Redeemer, like Boaz was the Redeemer of Ruth. Now, what I want to show you this morning, and if you have notes, you already see the title of the message. I want to show you the one born in Bethlehem. You see, Ruth and Boaz lived in Bethlehem. They got married, and they had a son. And when you picked up the notes this morning, you probably thought to yourself, oh, Pastor Wade's going to talk about Jesus. Because he's the one that's born in Bethlehem. No, I'm not. I'm going to talk about a baby boy born in Bethlehem 1,400 years before Jesus was born as your Redeemer in the same city. It's the son of Ruth. His name is Obed. And we read about his birth in our text this morning. Let's begin reading in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon." Now let me pause right there and remind you what he's saying. He's in front of the elders of the city of Bethlehem, and he's saying to them, "I am redeeming Ruth. I am buying back from the hand of her mother-in-law all the property that Ruth's father-in-law, Elimelech, lost before he died. I am buying back that property, and I'm marrying Ruth, the Moabitess." Verse 10. "Moreover, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off." Wow. "From his brothers or from the court of his birthplace, and you are the witnesses today." The reason Boaz is doing this is so that Naomi and Ruth will have descendants. Verse 11. "All the people who were in the court and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem.'" Let me explain that. When Boaz makes the announcement he's marrying Ruth, becoming the Goel, the Redeemer of Ruth and Naomi, all the elders say, "May Ruth bear you children. May she be like the mothers of Israel. And may the Lord give you wealth in Ephrathah and Bethlehem." That would be like me saying to you, "May the Lord bless you financially. And may you be one of the wealthy of Garfield County and Enid." For you see, Ephrathah was the region around Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was the main city. Let's go on. They go on to say, "Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." Now, you don't know who Perez is, but next Sunday, I'm going to tell you his story. And of all the messages that I've ever preached the last 5 years, preparation for next Sunday's message, the life of Perez and the descendants of that man who become, if you will, the forefathers of King David and are listed in the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew, it's the most gripping message that I've prepared in the last 5 to 10 years. So you'll know about Perez, but let's finish our text this morning. Verse 13. "So Boaz took Ruth as his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. To a son born in the city of Bethlehem 1,400 years before Jesus was born in the same city. Ruth gave birth to a son born to her by her Redeemer." Wow. Look at the next verse. "Then the women gathered together and said to Naomi, 'Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. May his name become famous in Israel.'" Whose name? The name of the boy that was born to Ruth, who would become the redeemer of Ruth and Naomi, carrying on the tradition of rescuing the women. And then a very key verse I want you to pay attention to, and it's our last one. "May he," that is this son born in Bethlehem, "may he become to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law Ruth who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Now that's our text. And in the next 10 minutes, I want you to listen carefully, because I will show you from this text how Jesus Christ is to you what the boy Ovid, born in Bethlehem 1400 years before Jesus, was to Ruth and Naomi. Let me show you the parallels between the two births. We have a Hebrew scholar who comes to our second service. His name is Dr. Darnell. He's taught Hebrew for 50 years. And he says, Wade, you see Jesus in every page of the Old Testament. You bet I do. I plead guilty. Do you know why? The architect of the universe is orchestrating history so that you might know he's interested in your life. And it's like a parent giving a child a coloring book and saying, fill in the lines, because I want to tell you a story. What happened in Bethlehem in the days of Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi is like a coloring book. It's a foreshadowing of what God did for you in that same city 2,000 years ago. For you see, there's a parallel between the birth of Ovid, we just read about, and the birth of Jesus. In fact, there are five. First, an angel blessed Joseph and later Mary before the birth of their son, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You read about it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Just like the elders of the city bless Boaz, and the women bless Ruth before the birth of their son. It's a parallel. Second, the Lord favored Mary to miraculously conceive your Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You read about it in Luke 1. Mary was a virgin, and the Lord favored her, and she gave birth to your Goel, just like the Lord in our text favored Ruth to give birth to Obed, her son. You see, the Hebrew commentators believe that Boaz was an old man. In fact, the Talmud says that shortly after Obed was born, Boaz died. So the Lord miraculously opened the womb of Ruth to give birth to her son. Third, the prophet Micah said that your Redeemer, your Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. Just as the elders of the city in the chapter that we just read prophesied to Boaz and to Ruth that their son would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. Remember what Micah said of Jesus, the Messiah? And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a ruler that shall lead my people. Wow. Four. The name of Jesus is famous all over the world. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Just like the name of Obed became famous in Israel in verse 14 of our text. By the way, in the Hebrew tongue, it's pronounced Oved. So you and I say Obed because of the B there, but there's no B sound. It's V, Oved. Do you see the parallels here? And then finally, Jesus Christ is called the Redeemer of the world. In fact, in the book of Titus, he is called Christ the Redeemer. He came to buy your life back, to get it back, to give it back to you. You've gone your own way, like the people of the book of Judges. But God, in his love for people with baggage, is coming to buy it back. Just as Boaz gave to Ruth a son who became her Redeemer. You see, if Boaz died shortly after this, here comes this boy, Ovid, who grows up and rescues Ruth and rescues Naomi. The parallels between these two births in the city of Bethlehem are stunning. Now, I want to close by showing you what Jesus does for you. Ruth 4, verse 15. The same thing the baby born in Bethlehem 1400 years before Jesus did for Ruth and Naomi. He will be a sustainer of your old age, a restorer of your life. And your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than seven sons. She has given birth to him. Three things in this text, and we'll be done. Listen carefully. First, the one born in Bethlehem is a restorer of real life. So verse 15, may he be a restorer of your life. Now, we got to define what life is. What is the definition of life? We'll go to Webster's. Webster's will give you three definitions. First, they will say life is the quality that distinguishes a vital functional being from a dead body. That's a scientific definition. That's what a coroner would say about life. Second, Webster's says that life is the period from birth to death. And that's the way most people define life. Oh, but the Bible defines life as a manner or a way of living. And when this little boy was born in Bethlehem to Ruth and Naomi, he changed the way they lived. They had hope. They had life. They had a son. They had nobody to carry on their name. They had nobody who could own their property. They had nobody who could farm their land. And here comes Ovid, their redeemer. Oh, so it is with us. We go our own way, do our own thing, do what we think is right. And then God in his love for us introduces us to his son, our redeemer, our Goel. And he changes the manner and the way in which we live. Jesus put it like this in John 10:10. I have come that you may have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. My dad says it like this. He says, Wade, the older people get, either the better they get or the more bitter they get. And I'm here to tell you, the older you get in your way of living, either Jesus will change the way you live and you'll become better at it, or you'll grow bitter. That's all there is to it. May he be the restorer of your life. In the second service, and I've been given permission to share this at any time, so I'm not violating any confidence. I'm very sensitive about that. But in the second service, I have a friend, Rochelle, and I have friends. He had an affair. She left him when she found out. Their marriage was over. All they wanted to do was make a million before they were 30. They didn't know Jesus. In fact, he told me he used to drive by Emmanuel and make fun of those weak Christians. And then one day when his life had fallen apart because he did that which was right in his own eyes, he showed up at the back door of Emmanuel one service like this, and he listened to me talk, and he wept the whole service. And he came up to me afterwards and he introduced himself and he said, would you help me and my wife? We did. And we introduced them to Jesus. And now they go all over the world sharing their story, holding marriage conferences, doing missions, leaders in our community. Because their Redeemer gave them a new way of living. If you want to go on doing the thing you're doing, living selfishly for yourself, doing that which you think is right in your own eyes, without ever asking your Redeemer what you should do, destruction is coming. Just read the book of Judges. And if you know it's coming because you've already lived it, don't give up. Ruth follows Judges. God's interested in people with baggage. Second, the one born in Bethlehem is a sustainer of old age. Now, this is so important. Young people, I want you to listen to me. I asked Abraham in the first service, Abraham, define for me, if you will, old age. When do you get old? At what year? He said, I'll take the fifth on that. Probably a smart thing to do. People say old age is basically something of the mind. Well, let me tell you what old age is in our culture. It's a shoving aside of people. You take a look at movies. It's the young who get the roles. Athletics, we understand physically, people in their 30s can't perform like those in their 20s. In culture, the young are idolized. In music, it's all about the newest, the youngest. They're the best. Oh, but that is so opposite of the way God wants you to live your life. Your Redeemer is a sustainer of your old age. What that means is simply this. God puts a premium on people who are old. Gray hair is a crown of glory. And the sad thing is, the Christian church, we Christians, we've bought into the way culture views youth. And we have missed the beautiful teaching of Scripture. In ancient days, when God's people would go to hear the Scripture read, the scroll would be brought out, it would be read, people would listen, and then there'd be discussion, and no young man could ever speak until every elder person in the room had the opportunity to speak. They always went first. Did you know, in the original organization of the New Testament Scriptures by the early church fathers, the Apostle Paul, his letters were at the back of the New Testament because he was the youngest. And those who were the oldest were in the beginning. This is the pattern of Scripture. But here in the West, we've adopted the world's way of living. And so you have a meal, and maybe it's at home or at church or a community group meal. And what do we say? Kids, go first. Kids, come on, let's go. All kids first, go first. You know what we ought to do? We ought to say, Grandma, Grandpa, you first. We're not going to eat until you're seated and eating. Because there's something special about an elder who has opened his or her life to the Redeemer. They get better and better and better. If you ever see an old man or woman hard and bitter, they don't have a Goel, a Redeemer. Jesus hasn't changed their life. But you get around older folks who have opened their heart to Jesus, honor them, revere them. By the way, in Christian church settings like this, and I'm going to speak to my pastor friends who may be watching this service, I don't know. Listen, we have messed up. We think that the word elder means some kind of mystic spiritual authority over people, so we appoint elders and we give them authority over people? That is baloney. Elders are simply older men and women who have the crown of wisdom, who've opened their hearts to Jesus and are living a life for the kingdom and for their Redeemer. Let's be a people who honor our elders. Finally, and I'm done. You who are older, I want you to see that the Bible says, don't lose heart. Obviously, although we may be wasting away outwardly, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day, for Christ in us is our hope. And so when the women gathered around Naomi and they blessed her and they said, may Obed be to you a restorer of your life and a sustainer of your old age, they were saying exactly who Jesus is to us. But third and final of all, the one born in Bethlehem is a provider of true love. All the women said to Naomi, this daughter-in-law of yours, Ruth, who's given to you a Goel, a redeemer, she loves you more than seven sons. For God so loved you that he gave you his son. My wife loves me, I know that. I love her more than anyone on the face of this earth. She's proven her love to me, unconditional. But I've said to her, and she knows it, and she said it to me, and I know it. Her love for me and my love for her, compared to God's love for us, is like the illumination of the moon compared to the brilliance of the sun. One of the reasons you and I go through life depressed is because we've never seen that the baby born in Bethlehem proves the love of God for us. If God be for us, the scripture says, if God be for us in giving us our Goel, who can be against us? If he who gave us his son, our Redeemer, and delivered us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Don't measure your love by the people who remain loyal to you. Don't measure the love you need by the people who praise you. Don't measure the love that fills your heart with human love. Measure the love you need by the fact the God who gave you this book has given you his son. And 1,400 years before his son was born, Obed was born to Ruth in the same city to give you a picture of who Jesus is to you. That's so cool to me. I love it. You may not fully comprehend what I've just told you, but I would encourage you, if at all possible, to come back next Sunday, because when we close our study of the book of Ruth, I will show you the genealogy of Jesus and Obed, his son's son, all the way down to King David, all the way down to Jesus Christ. And when you open up the book of Matthew and you begin reading the genealogy of your Redeemer, Matthew adds four people. And it's the story of those four women that will change your understanding of the love of God for your soul.